Colossians and chapter 3, and as I mentioned just earlier, we're going to be looking at verses 1 to 4 of the book of Colossians and chapter 3. So it's only a fairly short passage that we're going to be covering this evening, but I trust it will be a blessing to you. There's some well-known verses here, very well-known verses, very familiar to, I'm sure, to all of us. And I trust there'll be an encouragement to you this evening. All right, Colossians and chapter 3, and picking up in verse 1, we read, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." All right, let's open our time in the Word of God with a word of prayer this evening. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look to you now that you bless this time, that we might be encouraged through your word this evening, Father, that you might speak to our hearts and that we might be refreshed in our spirits as we look at your word, Father, that by your Holy Spirit you would encourage us, that you would challenge us where the challenge is needed, Father, and that you would draw us unto yourself. And we pray and ask it in and through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so this evening, as we look at this command for a heavenly focus, and the theme really is to lift your gaze off the temporal and fix it on the eternal. That's what the apostle is aiming at in these verses, is that we would be encouraged to take our eyes off of the temporal things, those things that are of material gain only, and fix our eyes on the eternal, on the things that will last for eternity, and even on the things that are even now true in eternity. As we go through the passage, you know, we notice that there are some things that the apostle points to that are already eternally true, such as Christ, who is sitting on the right hand of God in heaven. Okay, we fix our eyes on Christ and so forth. And so I trust we'll be encouraged as we go through these verses. So, the chapter 2 outlined for us our identification with Christ in his death, burial and resurrection, which brought us separation from sin, freedom from the law and liberty in Christ. And as we enter chapter 3, the apostle builds on the theme of our death and new life in Christ by emphasizing our heavenly reward and our need for a heavenly focus, okay? So he's just outlined for us how we're dead to sin, we're dead to the law, we're dead to the world, and now he says, as a result, if you're dead to all those things and alive in Christ, then you need to set your focus and your affections on something else. And so he opens up and says, if you then are risen with Christ, where do you need to set your focus? Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So the first point for this evening is we need a new focus. There is the focus of our new life. The focus of our new life, and we see that outlined for us in verses 1 through to the first part of verse 3. And so firstly, our focus needs to be on Christ. Okay? We are risen with Christ. Now, this isn't a matter of debate. As much as the verse opens up with the word if ye then be risen with Christ, this isn't a matter for debate. Why? Because the Apostle Paul has just outlined for us in the previous chapter that we are, as Christians, we are risen with Christ. He's just outlined our death and burial and resurrection with Christ, that as Christ has been raised from the dead, so we in Christ will be raised to eternal life. Okay, we have new life in Christ. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is the power that brings new life for us. So he's not questioning whether we are risen with Christ. What he's essentially saying is, since you are risen with Christ, if this is true, then you ought to have a new focus. So the Apostle Paul, he's very good at this. He builds the case, and then he makes some commands, he gives some instruction based on the case he has built. So in the previous chapters, he's been building on the fact that we are dead in Christ. Okay, and we drew some application from that. Death to the law and death to self and so forth, and that's all, they're all valid applications. And what the Apostle Paul is doing is he's really emphasizing our death to the temporal, our death to the world, to self, to sin, to all those things. And he says, now that I've established the case, we're all in agreement, we're dead to those things. So if that is true, then you need to set your affection on things above. You need to seek those things which are above. So he's set the scene, he's set the case, and he says, now there's no out for you. There's no escape. We've established these things are true. So why have you not set your affection on things above? Why do you still have a earthly or temporal focus? Why would that be? Of course, we know that we are dead with Christ, buried with him, and raised to new life. So we need then to live like that is the case. To live as though our life is now hid with Christ in God. To live as though our eternal reward is in heaven. It's not here. To live as though we are citizens of a new place. And so that's the case that he's building. Again, just reflecting on that term, if ye then, you'll remember back in chapter 2, so the Apostle Paul was really good at connecting these themes. And so if ye then connects chapter 3 with the thoughts of chapter 2, and can be restated as, since we have already established that you are risen with Christ. Okay? Since that is already established, now seek those things which are above. To seek means to desire, to make an inquiry, or to plan for something. Okay? That's what it is to seek those things which are above. Okay? It is to desire those things. It is to inquire about those things. So, in other words, we ought to be interested in the things that are above, the things of eternal value. Okay, we ought to be investigating those things, inquiring into those things, as it were, and to make plans for the eternal. That's what it is to seek the things above. Seek those things which are above. And where above? Well, it's where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So we're clearly talking about the things that are in the heavenlies, the things that are of eternal value. So if we are risen with Christ, which we know we are, this ought to be a exhortation to us to make plans for our life with Christ in heaven. To be planning for that. When a couple gets married, you know, as they're preparing for the wedding, what do? They start making plans, right? Because they want to know. You know, she wants to know, well, does he have a house already? If not, well, are we going to purchase one? Okay, so they want to make plans to ensure that they acquire a home for them to live in. They want to make plans. Well, how are they going to finance this endeavor together? They're planning for the future. They're planning for a life that they believe they're about to enter into. We believe that in Christ, we are going to enter into life eternal with him. So we ought to be making some plans towards that. We ought to be working towards that. Our focus should be on those things. Our preparation towards those things. This life is, it's only short. It's only temporary, but it gives us opportunity to make plans for the next. It gives us opportunity to make preparation for the next. And that's what we ought to be doing. So, we are to seek those things which are above. Now, those things above has really two applications. First, there is that heavenly application, which is to pursue those things which are of eternal value, which would be, for example, to pursue Christ. But coupled with that is the other application, which is the more earthly application, which is to pursue those things which are of highest quality or moral good, those things which are the best. Okay, the best for us, those things which are above. But I think in the context here, the primary focus is on the eternal. It's not just on those things that are best for us now, but generally speaking, those things which are best for us now would be those things which will last for eternity. Okay, they're the best pursuits. Now, we are to set our affections, our focus, to seek those things which are above. Pursue those things which are best. Philippians chapter 4 verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Those are some things that are of higher value, higher quality, that we ought to be setting our focus on, our affections on, as it were. But primarily, of course, any time we think of those things above, we must think of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the passage here, he's in focus. "Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." He's in focus. He's in view. Our Saviour. And shouldn't our lives be a pursuit of Christ? A pursuit of his will for us, his best for us. That's how we will enter into eternal reward when we follow him. We pursue him. There is eternal reward in that. So the apostle is instructing us to seek those things that are higher, more noble, and of eternal value. And with that in mind, he points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. What higher or more noble pursuit could there be than to pursue Christ and his likeness? There's no greater pursuit, no nobler endeavor than the pursuit of Christ and his likeness. What better endeavor could there be than to pursue Christ? To desire to be like him, conformed to his image. So our pursuit of things above must begin with the pursuit of Christ. It must begin with devotion to him, a desire for Christ to make us more like himself, to be more like the Master. So as we pursue Christ, we notice that Christ is in the highest position possible. He's at the right hand of the Father. And Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says of Christ, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." He is on high. He is above. He is the preeminent one. Supremely above all things. So to pursue those things which are above is to pursue Christ, as he sits even now on the right hand of the majesty on high, as Hebrews says, or as the verse here says, sitteth on the right hand of God. So to seek those things above primarily is to seek Christ and his likeness. So focus your heart on Christ. Verses 2 to 3, he says, set your affection, not just your focus now, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Our affections are to be set on those things which are above, specifically on Christ. To have a desire for Christ. We're not just seeking things above, but our whole heart is to be devoted to such pursuits. That's the idea. See, it's very difficult for you to keep your eyes fixed on Christ if your affections are elsewhere. It's going to be hard for you to keep your affections on Christ if your focus is elsewhere. Like Peter struggling in the waves, you know, took his eyes off the Savior and put his eyes on the circumstances, and suddenly he lost faith. So we're not just to seek those things above, but our whole heart is to be devoted to such pursuits. I have a quote here. The apostle in this place evidently founds the argument on what he had said in Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, where he said, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. So he's basing his argument on what he said back there. He says, the argument is that there was such a union between Christ and his people that in virtue of his death they become dead to sin, that in virtue of his resurrection they rise to spiritual life, and that therefore, as Christ now lives in heaven, they should live for heaven and fix their affections there. So what that author there, I believe that was Albert Barnes, what he's doing is he is tying together the link there between the seeking of those things above and our identification with Christ. And he's saying, look, the Apostle Paul has outlined our death with Christ, our identification with Christ and his death. And that by virtue of our identification with Christ, we've been raised to new life. And he says, now as Christ is in heaven, we ought to then live for heaven. We ought to be living for those things which are above, where Christ, who we are identified with, is, and to fix our affections there. Adam Clark says, love heavenly things, study them, let your hearts be entirely engrossed by them. Now that ye are converted to God, act in reference to heavenly things as ye did formerly in reference to those of earth, and vice versa. So what he's saying is, before you were saved, you pursued earthly things with passion, often. Look at the lost around you and how enthusiastically they pursue earthly things, like the next footy match, how they get worked up about that. And after the soccer game and they've lost, you see the raw emotions come out as they turn into a nice little brawl outside. They're passionate about those things. Those are earthly things. Those people who live for the weekend to go out and party or to go out fishing or whatever it is, they're passionate about those things. And what he's saying is, just how you are passionate about earthly things, you ought to now be passionate about heavenly things. Just, you see how you used to pursue earthly things? Well, now I want you to pursue with the same passion and enthusiasm. I want you to pursue Christ, to pursue those things which are above. Often that isn't how it works for us. We're still enthusiastic about earthly things, but we find it very hard to be enthusiastic about the heavenly things. I tell you, we're very short-sighted creatures. We really are. It's so easy for us to get focused on the immediate, the here and now, the temporal, the things that will one day pass away, but we get so fixated on them because they're the here and the now. They're the things that to us are tangible. We can get our hands on them now. But our focus on the heavenly is sort of, it's vague. You know, we see darkly through a clouded glass, heaven's mystery is divine. There's the old song that says about that, and it says, you know, we see darkly through a clouded glass, heaven's mystery is divine. But when one day our eyes will clearly see beyond the edge of time. Why? Because right now, our focus on heaven is it's from a distance. We believe it to be there. We believe it to be true. That we will one day live there. And if I asked you now, you'd say, yes, I believe it's true that even now in Christ I'm a citizen of that place. And for sure, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I'm just a pilgrim here. We dwell, as it were, just temporarily here in tents, like a stranger in this world. I believe in the world beyond. I believe my reward is there. But our focus is so easily moved on to the things of the here and now. Now, I get it. We have to be concerned about the things of the here and now to a degree, because we do live here. We live in the world. We're not of the world. But we do have to be wise in the things of this world, in that we have to make our way through this world in a way that honors God, and we have to make plans for tomorrow. Okay, we have to provide for our families and so forth. But that is not to be the primary focus. That is supposed to be secondary. I engage in the temporal things so that I might better and serve my Lord in the eternal. That's supposed to be the focus. Like the businessman who said of his business, he said, I have a business here so that I might feed my family and better serve my Lord. That's the right perspective on the business. On the workplace, that's not the primary focus, but for so many people it becomes the primary focus. And so what the apostle is trying to say is, look, as you are passionate about these earthly things, I want you to turn that passion towards heavenly things. I want you to lift your eyes off of the temporal and set your eyes on the eternal. I want you to not have a love for the temporal, but a love for the eternal. I don't want you to love yourself, I want you to love your Savior. Doesn't matter what it is in this life, a house, a car, a sports team, a workplace, whatever it is of earthly substance, it will one day be ended. It'll pass away. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. I don't see any scope in that passage for anything that you do in this life that is not done for Christ to last beyond that day. Whatever it is that you're doing, if it's not done for Christ, when that day comes, I don't care what you built, I don't care what works you did, I don't care what it is, if it was of earthly value only, when that day comes, it will be burned up. It says, the heavens will pass away, the elements will melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That's everything, friends. Every little thing. Brother Dio is going out this week to see a bridge that he's been working on the design of. Okay, bridges are built to last, right? We want them to last. That's the hope. We want people to make use of it, and we hope that it doesn't collapse under anybody. Amen? But I don't care how well engineered that bridge is, brother, it's going to burn. As the old American preachers used to say, it'll burn, it'll burn. Okay? That's the way it is. Don't set your affection on those things. Have your focus fixed on Christ. Okay? Whatever we do here, it ought to be for the praise and glory of God. It ought to be with a focus on the eternal, that we're serving the Saviour who we will one day be with. Like the bride who wants to please her soon-to-be husband, okay? She will work towards that wedding day. She will work towards that. She will make plans with him. And she will try to please him. Looking forward to that wedding day. And we, the bride of Christ, look forward to being with our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we ought to be working towards that. Investing in that coming union with our Saviour. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 to 25 says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The pleasures of sin, the pursuits of the world, okay, they are but for a season. They're only temporary. Okay, and they may seem good at this time, all the bells and whistles of the world, the lights and the attractions of this world, they might hold some temporary pleasure, but they will pass away. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Why? Well, firstly, for ye are dead. Now, he's already established that back in the previous chapter, but he's just reaffirming this. You're dead to the world. You're dead to self. You're dead to sin. You're dead to the law. You're dead to the temporal. And since you're dead to all those things, don't place value in them. Why would you value those things? You're dead to them. They're all going to pass away. They're not for you, friends. To put it simply, you're no longer a citizen here. Whatever you accumulate here, you can't take it with you when you move country, friends. You can't. It's going to stay here. It belongs to this world, and that's where it's going to stay. Whatever you accumulate stays here. We're citizens above. So that's where we need to be storing up our treasure. That's where our affections need to be. That's where our focus needs to be. It's on the things that are above. Next, we see the locality of our life as we move along. And that is from verses 3 to 4, it says, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So we're dead to sin, and now he's furthering this. Your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. We've looked at this thought already in the book of Colossians, but our eternal life is secured in heaven. When we're looking at chapter 2, verse 3, I mentioned this. It says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, referring to Christ. And that word hid, okay, is to be safely stored up somewhere. It can be compared to something which is kept in the storehouse of heaven and is preserved there. Our life is preserved there for us in Christ. We have eternal life secured for us in God's storehouse, as it were, reserved there for us in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." That's where your life is. That's where your reward is. And so what the apostle is trying to say is, in effect, you are dead to this world, to everything in it. You're dead to it all. But you need to understand that you have everything to look for in heaven. There's your Saviour. Look up there. There's the home He's preparing for you. Look up there. Hey, you're a citizen of heaven. Look up there. Hey, your reward is in heaven. Look up there. Because everything down here, you're dead to it anyway. You have nothing here. So look up there. That's what he's saying. Sometimes we just don't get it. We think we've got stuff here that we need to look after, things here that we need to hang on to. And he's saying, no, you don't get it. You've got nothing here. You're dead to it all. And it's all going to burn anyway. But don't despair, because Christ has provided everything for you up in heaven. So look up there. Set your affection on things above. Set your focus on the eternal. Our new life is there with Christ. It's like, you know, having, you know, people who get a new lease on life. It's kind of like, you know, someone who goes, they go through the protective services of the government, and they're under threat, and so the government goes, all right, well, what we're going to do is we are going to erase the previous you, and we're going to set up a brand new life for you. Okay, and we're gonna establish you with a new home, with a new car, okay, in a new place, with a new name. You're gonna have a whole new life. We have it. Our new life is in glory. There's a new name written down in glory. It's mine. Yeah, we're gonna have a new name in glory. We're gonna have a new home in glory. Oh, it's going to be a whole new life in glory. That's ours, hid in Christ. This one's past. This one, this life, it's the past tense. Even now, as we're living it, really, spiritually, this is the past tense. Or even now, the Bible pictures us even now as being in glory. It's like it's established, it's a fact. This is just the blink of an eye and we're gone, and all eternity in our new life. And all of this, you know, who needs this anyway? You know, it's just the temporal. So since none of this is going to last anyway, why not give your life to Christ? Since none of this is going to last for eternity, since nothing here is of any eternal value, why not let Christ have your life? Let him produce something eternal out of it. Why not let Christ have your life? I mean, he said, "I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You know, it was an old preacher. He said, he was asked about, you know, what advice he would give to people if he just had just a short little a snippet of a you know, something to say to them. And that's what he said. He said, Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You only have one life, so give yours to Christ. This is just the one little speck of a life that we have. And then after this, we have all of eternity with Christ. Our new life awaits us. So why not give this life to Christ? Why not let him have it? And you just focus on the eternal and let him deal with the here and now. You just focus on the life he's preparing for you and let him have his way in this life. He is our life. That's the next thought there. Not only is our life hid with Christ in God, but he is our life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Not only did he give man life at creation, but our eternal life is in him. He is the one in whom we live and move and have our being. And as long as he lives, we live, because we are alive in him. He is the guarantor of our eternal life for those who put faith in him. He is our life. And the appearing of Christ marks that point at which we fully enter into the eternal life that is ours with him. Now, whether that be at the rapture or whether it be at death, either way, what we do know is that when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then we'll know him as he really is. And we'll enter into that new life. Knowing these things should encourage us to seek those things which are above and to set our affection on the things above. When he appears, then we shall also appear with him in glory. Hey, we're going home one day. We're leaving this old world behind, heading on up yonder, as the old preachers used to say. That's true. So, I think I've said it here before, but for the Christian, death, it's a homecoming. That's what it is. We're going home. Because even now, we're citizens of heaven. Our life is hid with Christ in God. And we're going to be with him in glory. So we're going home one day. That's exciting. But while we're here, that's where our affection needs to be. That's where our focus needs to be. Now, of course, we're commanded to be good stewards of the material possessions that God has given us, but we have to remember that they are all his. It's all his. End of the day, doesn't matter, again, doesn't matter what you have here of temporal value. It ultimately all belongs to God, as we say, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the wealth in every mine. It's all his. One day, he's going to take it, roll it up like a scroll, okay? Heaven and the earth is going to pass away. And what do we see? God creates a new heaven and a new earth. And then we see that new city, the new Jerusalem, descend out of heaven from God. One day, hopefully, we'll get round to looking at the description of that city. It's a massive place. People have done the calculations on the size of that thing. And when you look at the size of it, how big it is, lengthways, widthways, and heightways, I tell you what, there's enough room in there for everybody who's ever lived, plus some. It's a massive city. You look at the beauty of that city. We're going to get to be there. Look at the streets. You see all the gold? Look at the gates. Look at the foundation stones. All the different gemstones. You just think, wow. Hey, this world's nothing compared to that one. This world is just nothing compared to the one that God is going to make anew. Perfect. And we're going to be there. Should make everything of this life now just pale in comparison. Just absolutely nothing in comparison. So what are the things that are holding your focus? What are the things that you're looking at that seem to have captivated your heart? What are the things that you're placing value on? Maybe God would say, no, that's just the temporal. It's going to pass away. Let it go. Are you looking for your eternal reward? Are you looking for heaven and home? Hey, home. Everybody loves going home, right? I'm sure you'll all enjoy when we finish up tonight, you get to head home, you enter into your own home. It's your own space and it's comfortable. That's where you feel the most at home. Well, nothing like going to our real home. Oh, I'm looking forward to that. Set your affections on those things. On Christ. Hey, he's going to be there. Our Saviour. Wow. And there's no need of the sun, and the moon and the stars because the Lamb is the light thereof. Hey, our Saviour's going to be there. Don't let the attractions of this world hold your heart. There's one much better coming. Now, I don't know, I still to this day just always love to imagine just from reading the scriptures just what that world is going to be like, just what the new heaven and the new earth is going to be like, just what it's going to be like to go into heaven itself and to see that temple in heaven where Christ is the high priest. Hey, maybe to see the blood on the altar. There to see the scars in the hands and the feet of our Saviour. You know, so many people have written songs and poems and so forth about what heaven will be like. And look, I know there's some out there who say they've been to heaven and come back and they've got all sorts of funny stories. I'm not talking about those, all right? But so many people have tried to explain to us, to describe for us what the Bible tells us heaven will be like. But I still love that hymn. That says, you know, I shall know him. And there's that one verse in the hymn that says, but I long to see my Saviour first of all. I think that's one of the most impactful things you can think of, is that one day you'll close your eyes in death and you'll open them and see your Saviour. Hey, what a blessing. Set your affection on those things. Let them hold your heart. Let them captivate your affections. And let the things of this world just become nothing in comparison. And then you'll pursue Christ. You'll really live for him. Because you'll see that all that's here is just nothing. You're dead to it anyway. And live for Christ. Set your affection on those things. For your life is hid with Christ in God. And when he appears, then we shall appear with him in glory. Amen. All right, let's close in a word of prayer.